So this is a holy temple of God in which we live. God also lives within. The God is light, and if we just know how to open the inner eye, then you will know, you will see the light of God within you. For that purpose you require somebody who has got that first experience and can give you that experience. Kabir says, well, it is better to die, you see, learn how to die. If you learn to die even 100 times a day, he says, 100 times a day, when you want to stay and go up, again come back. You are expert that way, well, where do you think of death is left? He says, the people are afraid by having the name of death. He says, but I am all joyful at the name of the death, you see, because I know how to leave the body in transcendence. For me, that is the complete union with God, no return whatsoever. So we have to make the best use of all that, you see. When we transcend, open the inner eye, then further there is something more, you see. That is, we come in contact with the Divine Word. This is called, as in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, the Word was God. Well, that we will take up tomorrow evening. What is Word? What the Masters who came, they define it. What is its work? How we come in contact with that after transcending the body? And what is the job of a Master? What he has to do? What sort of yoga he teaches us? You see? And if we have love for the Master, that will give us progress, you see, more quick than as in the ordinary course. So that will be the subject of tomorrow evening, you see. What is the highest form of yoga, which is most natural, and natural things are always easier. You see? Second thing, how to come in contact with the Divine Word within, where it is, how to come in contact with that, and ultimately, who can be a Master, what the Master can give us. That will be subject of tomorrow.
I want to make a few announcements. Tomorrow morning at 7:30, here, Master will hold meditation, at which time he will give you that inner experience of days which he has been talking about tonight. Then tomorrow night at 7:30 here also, he will continue his talk and tell you of a different
satsang. Satsang means the company or contact with the truth. Because to come in contact with the truth, it is still a higher thing. Secondly thing comes, the company of those people who have come in contact with truth. They are the mouthpiece of truth. So the company of the true Masters, I would say, who are the mouthpiece of God, who speak as inspired by God, the company of such Masters is termed by the word satsang, you see.
Satsang ananda,
what does that mean to you? Well, ananda is the pre-qualifications of the realization a man has after transcension from the body, absorbing into the beyond, you see. That's the qualification of realization. When you are about realization, it is taught. That gives you three things, you see. All consciousness, all truth, all jaya and peace.
Come on, is any questions you have? What you
say,
you can reply any questions.
Point is, you see, only for the sake of understanding, if there is anything which you do not follow very clearly, those things can be absorbed. And to the best of my knowledge, what I have come to know, I hope you will be satisfied. That's all I can say. No man can boast. But the true search after God sometimes creates in us as something about which we do not know very clearly. Not for discussion's sake, but for the sake of understanding, any and everybody is welcome. Yes, surely, the voice of God within. That's the second part of the show. I'm talking only about the opening of the inner eye, and I did refer your hope in my lost that giving of the Tulsi's scripture, which speaks of the voice of God. Both things go together on the way back to God. The light, opening of the inner vision and opening of the inner eye, inner ear, both of them. The masters have all had the both things in their teachings. Those who come to them, they teach them how to see within, how to open the inner eye, and how to open the inner ears to hear the music of the world, as Plato puts it, you see. Yes, they will give first an experience of God. Therein the competence of a master lies, not in giving out a lecture or write a book or this and that, not in that, you see. The greatness of master lies in giving you first an experience, how little it may be, but he will give you some experience, you see. That can be dwelt from day to day, experience.
It's possible for everyone.
Beg your pardon?
It's possible for everyone.
Well, I tell you, out of this Hollywood and Los Angeles, how many men are there? Hardly, I think, not 200. Then those who are ready, those who are in search of that, they have only come, you see. And those who come and have that inner thirst within them, well, they are fit, not others. So, that's a natural, you see, I say the inner thirst within each man for something higher. When he learns about these things, naturally runs up over there to see what is what. That inner thirst hides him on to come to somebody who knows a bit on the way. So those who come up, they are fit, you see.
You mentioned Kalidas. Would you tell us, which of all the great masters
are leading
to the most intelligible
to us,
which, say,
Kalidas
or
Vyasa? Well, Kalidas was not a master, I tell you.
No?
He was a poet.
Yes,
poet, and no doubt half master, half saint, that I do, see.
How about Patanjali?
Patanjali, he is a master of yoga. Well, master teaching are not the prana yoga or the jnana yoga or the other yoga that is given by Patanjali. Patanjali refers to just transcend the body, you see. See? By just controlling the prana, you see. That's a difficult one. Everybody is not fit for those things today. Masters have taken up only the natural way, you see. For the reason I tell you why. They say that in everyday life we are just eating, thinking, reading, writing books, attending to other affairs. The prana have their own function in the body. Just circulation of the blood is going on, digestion is going on, reaction of the prana is the breathing going on constantly, growing of hairs, growing of nails, this is the function of the prana within the body, and they are going on, we are not conscious of that. The yogi is, and there are other things, the soul current working in the body. So yogis just withdrew the prana current as well as the soul current, both together, and for that they have to just have recourse to Hatha Yoga practices, you see. And as to make the body fit, and cleanse the body by the practices, you see, neti, dhoti, and other things. But everybody is not fit for those things these days. Master says, well, it is the soul that has to realize God, simply concentrate the currents of the soul working the body and leave the prana working independently, not to touch with it. That makes the work much easier. Even a child of 5 years can see God, can transcend the body. So that's the feat of the master. Quite different, excuse me, from the other ways which are time consuming and difficult, and we are hereditarily not fit these days. The master has taken up only the natural, most natural way, and natural ways are always easier, you see. No, not the least. I have not taken up that thing. I have just mentioned now, pranas have their own function in the body. For the sake of health, you might, but for transcending into the beyond, if you just take a prana system with you, that will make the matter more difficult for you. And for that, you will have to take a long way. If you can have the same thing, because it is the soul that has to experience God, not the pranas, not the intellect. So Master, for that reason only, took up the soul side, not touch the pranas. That is the difficult way, everybody is not fit. And those who take up, I will tell you, most of them have some physical ailment. Their brain goes out of order, or their lungs are affected, or other systems affected, you see. For that reason, because we are physically not fit these days for those hard practices and time consuming, that is why they have just eliminated that part of the show to be fitted for the time, you see, for us people. Yes? No, no, not the least. You see, we have got 24 hours body. I think yesterday's talk must have made it clear to you that man is composed of three things, physical body, intellect, and soul. We have to maintain the body by honest means, you see, maintain it, maintain your families, maintain your social body, politically, go on. Your intellect, you must advance intellectually. In both these ways, you see, we have made sufficient advancement. But we know little or nothing about our own selves, you see. They do not advise to leave the world and go to some wilderness and just be a burden to the society, not the least. He says, Masters always say, the man who just earns his money by dint of hard labor, honest means, by the sweat of brow, only such a man is fit for going back to God. And those who are living on the donation and alms of others, well, they are not fit for the way. He will earn himself and help others. To do that, such a man only is fit for going up, you see.
Master, is it possible for people to hear the higher forms of doctrine and to ascend to the higher spiritual?
Surely.
Without initiation by a master or without the help of a master?
I tell you, some people do have, you see, that experience sometimes, because each man has his own background, you see. Suppose a man has read in one school or college up to a certain class, 9th or 10th class, if he has to go up to the other college, naturally he will have to start ahead, not again begin the ABC. What he has earned, that stands to his credit. Well, now what we appear to be, we are not what we appear, but each one of us has got our own background as a reaction of the past. Sometimes people do have experience of light and sound within, but they do not know what it is. And to whatever stage they have dwelt that comes up as a result of the reaction of the past, they require further guidance. I have met people who have seen they do not know what it is. I had one of my relations, you see, he just, when he just was going, he indriyas which are outgoing cycles would stop to work sense organs, he would in a samadhi like that. On the way, when going, even then he would stand like that for minutes, sometimes half an hour. And he was treated by all doctors in India, you see. And everybody, some said it is some derangement in the brain, the other said it is due to eyesight and so many things. When he came up to me, I told him, well, it is a reaction of your past, what you have earned. Would you like to be put on the way, or this should be taken out of you, you see. So men do have experiences. Those who have earned that in their past, you see, that will come up to their help of themselves, but they do not what it is. They simply take it as a disease. Even one man came to me, I think, day before yesterday, telling me, I feel something like I hear this sound, there is some sound reverberating in my ears, and I've been to doctors, they say there's nothing physically wrong, you see, that's your only whim. But he told me, no, I do hear. So that is something of the past which he cannot account for, you see. And they also need a further guidance by a master to go up further, you see. I tell you, you see. Well, those who have these experiences, as I just told you, as a reaction of the past, you see, you have it. But they die out if you do not, you are not put on the way, if you do not restrict to the certain things which are to be retarding factors, you see. So this, I mean, dietary question is very helping factor. We can change our habits by changing our diet, you see. And there are some things, you see, vegetarian, strict vegetarian diet is prescribed for the reason that we would like to have a normal life, not a passionate life, you see, to start with. This is a helping factor. That is why that is assimilated. And there are other things which are simply harmful or retarding factors. We have to eliminate all those. All intoxicants, all meat, diet, including fish, fowl, or eggs, etc., they are to be eliminated for the purpose, you see. Because we want to, whenever we have to just take up something, we have to assimilate certain things and eliminate other things, you see. For that reason, that is a helping factor, I tell you. And all those masters who came in the past, if you just read their histories, life histories, you'll find they abstain from all those. They remain on mostly vegetarian diet, I think, to the best I know. Even Prophet Muhammad, he had to leave off all these things. He says when he transcended the body, went up the body, you see. But some refined diet is required, perhaps. Yes, please.
Can you tell us something about the modern Pentecostal missions in India? What mission? Pentecostal missions in India, where 60,000 people attaining every meeting, and thousands of Brahmins and Muslims speak of being converted to instantaneous healing. I've seen films,
yes,
important from India. I'm from India, yeah.
Yes.
And I've seen this going on in the city of Lahore.
Oh, in Pakistan.
Yes.
Maybe. You are an eyewitness. You are an eyewitness.
No, I'm an eyewitness of the film.
Oh, that. Yes, yes. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not interested. I have not been interested in that way. You see? So I
have never heard of the Pentecostal doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, so by all these miracles are being performed.
I tell you. There are ways and ways, you see, there are some side issues. Our highest aim in life is to know ourselves and to know God. Yes. I am interested only in that fact. In that thing, you see, soul has got all curative powers, you see. It is simply just a question of application. When you exercise, take exercise, you put your whole attention in the body, you grow in strength of the body. When that attention is just well directed to the center of the brain, you just go very strong, giant, intellectual giant. Similarly, that power, if it is engaged in other pursuits, you further develop that way. That's right. But we are using that very power instead of using for the higher purpose, to know oneself and contact God for the side issues or the other avenues. That's all. All right, if it can work out, that's all right. Few minutes more, if you people don't mind. And self of my master, you see, in India, who has left the body, no doubt, but in his sweet remembrance, you'll see his form, you see, working how in India, you see. Very small field we have got, but just that will give some.
Very pleasant?
Not as much light as yesterday.
Yes.
So it seems as if every time it's almost coming, and I think about it, and then it'll be gone again.
But don't think of it. That's the very effort of your part, you see. That's the answer to it. Let it come what it comes. Light does come when you think of it, you put your own interest in the ego, and basically then that stands in the way. You see. You saw light? Forgot your money for a while? You forgot your body for a while?
Part of the time.
You please?
Well, first I saw a very bright violet spot, very small, shaped quite like an eye, and there was a pulsation of yellow or yellowish gold.
Yes.
And then I just lost consciousness completely, and something seemed to just to sort of throw me back into consciousness. I don't know just how to describe it, but I was completely...
You were going to just absorb in something?
Went
to sleep?
No, I didn't go to sleep. Just as somebody hit me on the head, and I just went out. then when I was snapped back into consciousness, why, it caused me to jump.
Power is there to guide you again, bring you back into consciousness. You please?
Oh, I really felt...
Did you forget your body first? That's the first thing.
Well, the body felt as though I was not here, really.
That is the first thing. You must come along the body consciousness. Then, at that time, what did you see?
Well, I only saw a gold light, like a path. So I saw someone there, and that was gone. That's the only...
Gold light, you saw gold light.
Yes.
And you...
There was a large star, and the master come back, and then to the left was another large star.
Which master?
The eighth one. It was in the picture
yesterday. Oh, that's the 17th.
And then right to the left of them was another large star, and there was someone there that I couldn't see clear.
Yes.
And then the master spoke and said, a star above, and then it took an oval shape and a brilliant map of light in the center.
That's
I saw all the teachers back with you.
Did you forget your body? Did you forget your body for a while? No.
So
what I asked just turned in there. Did you forget your body for a while? No.
A little bit.
For a while, a little bit means some part of it or the whole of it, is it? Were you conscious of the breathing going out?
Yes.
When I told you, you don't think of the body or anything going on in the body, not to think. Just breathing starts from the nose, goes to the mouth, you see. Only when you are in the body, how can you see it? That's the first step. You are not to think of it. reading my mind. Just as during the day reading goes on, and you are not conscious of it. You please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you forget your body? That's first thing. Seeing will come next. Did you forget your body for a while? Did you forget your body for a while? This is the first thing required. After that, when you forgot your body, when you're looking mindlessly into something before you, was that big dog, skylight, cloudy sky, or some bluish sky?
Black.
Big dog. Big dog. Or like a sky. Any spots of light over there are coming or going, some flash of light coming. No. Your mind was wandering?
No. I was completely relaxed on that.
But you are, no, no, I'm just to find out where the car of not seeing you. You relax your body. Where you conscious of your body is just not there. Then you must be looking into constantly. Mind was not wandering away. Then where you are exerting that, you must find some imagination, light should come, or this, that should come, something like that. No, but I have just said it. You did not see that, I quite see. I have just tried to locate. It is clear there. I think that this just arises. You see. You forgot your way, that's the fact. You forgot your body.
That's
right. You tried that, did you forget? Trying is something else, forgetting is something else. Where you conscious of the body? No.
No.
That's all right. Where you conscious of the breathing going on in the body? No, that's all right. Then you are just looking into the middle of the darkness of whatever it was before you, constantly, your mind was not wandering away. And where you trying then to see one light or the other?
Well, I didn't know what I was looking for, so I just didn't see anything.
I quite see that you did not see. I don't say that you have seen, but I am just locating where you are, you see. That's how you forgot the body, sir. First step. You are looking minorly in something before you. Your mind was not wandering, that's what you said. Then you must be looking something when the light has not come, or expecting something of your own self. Expecting to something, just looking, this should come, that or not. That or not. That should not be done. You see? Let it come what it comes. The very effort on our part stands in the way. You follow my point? Here it is. Now you sit down. There is another, I think. You or somebody?
Yes.
Well, she was conscious of the breathing going on in the body. So that's the natural phenomenon. You have just come up in the body conscious, that's it. Splendid. Just you are looking into the middle, mind was wandering, not wandering, that is also all right. But you just wanted to see something, expecting to say, this should not come. Simply look through and see what is done.
I saw the black spot, and then it opened up a bit like the shutter in the camera. A pale blue sky with one single star.
That's all right. You please?
I think it's in the waking body.
Yes.
Mostly the dusty intense black and then the pale purple.
Yes.
It acted as some gold painting.
That's all right. You please?
I was resting body part of the time, and then suddenly I have a nothing. I was out of the blue bag, and it's kind of a rain and cold and odd. I want to come back, and I'm again to the gold light, the blue light, and
soul, just about these two bodies, you see. You
Good morning and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listened to was the last 30 minutes of an evening Q&A talk given on August 3, 1955 in Hollywood, California. Our reader this morning is Marcia Crosby. You may please begin, Marcia.
Hello, everyone. Today I am going to continue reading in Spiritual Elixir, Chapter 1, Social Conduct and Ethical Life. No doubt, hard and difficult times await us, but those who are living chaste lives and remain devoted to the Master and to God will pass through them unscathed. All initiates are on the way. Some have developed more than others. So some may have more faults and failings than others. We have to hate the sin and love the sinner. Those who are doing the Master's work in helping others to find a way back need and command our help and more tolerance. Example is better than precept. Fortunate are those chosen few who are blessed with the rare privilege of instilling faith and right understanding in their less fortunate brethren for their spiritual enlightenment. When a disciple, having found a true master, has developed such absolute love for him and steadily purifies himself, he becomes a recipient of divine grace. I wish all disciples to meet God in this life. Keep the physical body pure by keeping all outgoing faculties pure. Follow the teachings of the Masters and meditate faithfully. Learn self-control, train your desires, be pure, and be active. But let that activity be dedicated to God and God power working through Master. To forgive and forget is what one must practice in thoughts, words, and deeds so that they may become a part and parcel of daily living from day to day. Love knows no criticism, no imposition, no boasting, no reflection on others' shortcomings, but works in a constructive way to cement all in one loving fold of the Master. Love beautifies everything. Do not concern yourself with the fruits of your deeds. Leave that to the Master. Make your love for him so complete that beholding his hand in everything, you may rise above all feelings of enmity, rivalry, and resentment. See him present in every experience and remember he is always with you, ready to assist whenever you turn your thoughts to him. And above all, remember he is not to be won by words, but by deeds. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you can do this, if you can conquer the self and surrender it at the feet of the Master, you can learn to see him working through all things. If you can accept the fact of your own limited vision, if you can undertake a ceaseless and zealous watch over your thoughts and deeds, weeding out all evil and all imperfection, you shall not only win salvation for yourself, but you will be an example for others to do likewise. Your example will shine like a torch in the darkness, and men, even those who may first oppose you, will turn to you for guidance and help. You will find a new sense of peace surging through you, a peace that does not depend on the absence of outer disturbances, but is an inner state of mind that stands unshaken, even in the most tempestuous situations. And the same quality shall enter not only your individual life, but the larger life of the great spiritual movement of which you are a part. It is so good that you enjoy the satsangs and that the dear ones help you with transportation. It is a rare bliss to be amidst the sacred circle of devoted disciples of the Master, where loving devotion for his holy feet is fostered with his grace. We must reform ourselves before we can reform others. But unfortunately, we are always anxious to reform others. We should weed out all imperfections one by one by self-introspection, and this will bring peace all around. Love beautifies everything, and if we can learn to love everyone, all our imperfections can be washed away, especially by loving, kind words. If two drunkards can sit together in a tavern, why can't two devotees of God and Master sit together in love for each other? If we find this difficult, it is because we have not yet tasted the exhilarating elixir of divine love. The reading of the scriptures and the wisdom given out by the Masters cannot give us an ounce of love for God or man. The food that is digested will give you strength, and that which is not digested will result in indigestion, leading to diverse ailments. We know so much about scriptures and the wisdom given to our Masters, but we have not made that a part and parcel of our living, with the result that may better be seen than described. Individual failures do retard our progress and also defame the cause of the Masters by setting a bad example to others. A disciple's foremost job is to develop spiritually and be with his or her Master. An overwhelming and prayerful desire when aroused in an initiate bears fruit. The satsang meetings are places where his grace blooms to saturate the participants through and through. It is a serene attitude that you have compassion for the downtrodden, but you should not worry or try to reform them, as their outlook is limited and they cannot comprehend your helping attitude. The law of karma is inexorable, and everybody will have his or her turn in due course to be benefited spiritually through the gracious Master power working overhead. The maximum you should do is to point out to them that they can benefit from satsang and the living Master. The rest is for them to follow. The ready ones will come up with his grace. Selfless service is a great virtue, and accordingly means some extra labor and sacrifice. It is the manifestation of love and goodness. Mind and body become sanctified through selfless service, provide out ego or vanity. Love knows service and sacrifice. A humble person knows best how to serve the holy cause under the protective guidance of the living Master. The climax of selfless service is the annihilation of the ego, considering oneself to be a humble servant of the Lord Master, entrusted with certain duties to be carried out through him or her, and deeming it to be a fortune of the highest order. The path of the Masters is not a path of blind faith, but one of seeing things for oneself. The souls who are ready will be drawn to the holy path. To those who are already on the way, satsang is important and is an aid for receiving and enjoying the loving grace of the Master. Remembrance of God is the main thing before us to find the way to Him. The purpose of all devotional exercises, places of worship, and pilgrimages is the same. The human body is the veritable temple of God. When the disciple lives an ethical life, this provides a fertile ground for the spiritual seed to grow quickly. All children are equally dear to the Master, and He wants them to blossom into beautiful, loving flowers, emitting the deep fragrance of God's love. And Master's love for His children surpasses all things, whether they are jewelry, gold, or pearls. He wants His children to receive such gifts of a spiritual nature, so that by comparison, the millions of other gifts made by gold and diamonds just fade into insignificance. It is His rare divine grace that you are blessed with a great boon of right understanding, so that you see everything in its right perspective. The gracious protection being extended to you by the rare presence of the Master and His Master within the eye focus is the climax of divine grace. He is invariably with you, and you are fortunate in bearing testimony for sacred truth. The diary is planned to be a personal thing for the information of the Master, and a helpful and sweet reminder for the initiate not to deflect from the right path, and also to help him to progress from day to day by improving, and if there is no improvement, to ponder and reflect why this is so. It is a very useful thing. A spiritually developed person would be obliged to be more sober and tolerant in his dealings, as he is enriched with the firm conviction of the temporary aspects of this world, and knows that he is bound for his holy voyage to the true home of the Father. God is love, and Master is love personified, and anyone coming his way is blessed with his loving care and guidance. You are fortunate enough to bear testimony to this truth, and may in turn prove helpful to the weary and forlorn souls struggling hard for emancipation. Those who are doing the Master's work selflessly and in a spirit of love will surely receive help and an uplift. Those who are feeling vain are damaging their own interests. I wish everyone would try to appreciate the other's point of view and to act lovingly. I am glad to know that you are enjoying success in holding the satsang. It is a service of the highest order, and fortunate are the chosen few who are made instrumental in the divine setup for bearing the torch. You may rest assured that the more you will be reposing your efforts in Him, with deep faith and humility, more of serene bliss and harmony will fall to your lot. The sacred importance of the holy meditations and complete surrender to the Master Power should be stressed on the initiates. You say disciples are very important people to you. This is natural. There is an affinity between travelers on the same road, and more so in the case of initiates as they walk on the holy path. They are destined to go to the same place, which is their true home. I find you heard Billy Graham's message of love your neighbor. It is good. All initiates have been put on the practical path to achieve what he said. Love comes from within. You are on the way. The more the initiates progress inwardly, the more they will develop love for their neighbor and for everyone else. Floods or no floods, an initiate's way is clear. He goes on peacefully, his work undisturbed, because of inner comfort and the Master Power working overhead. The help in such cases can only be extended by the Master. He has his own way of doing his work. The disciple's benefit is always foremost to him. I expect everyone to behave lovingly and to be tolerant and to exhibit in all matters a spirit of humility and self-discipline. It will give them serenity and peace. The teachings of the Masters are based on plain and simple truth and love. It may be lived and enjoyed. How does the Master wish everyone to come up to him within so that they may have a glimpse of true peace and tranquility and to enjoy in ever-increasing measure his loving grace and blessings? I am sorry for the family disruption caused by a misunderstanding on the part of your dear mother and dear husband. Such things do happen sometimes for testing the integrity of spiritual aspirants. I appreciate your calm attitude in the face of provocation, which will have a salutary effect on their strained nerves. The golden principle to be applied in such a situation is to leave the place and allow the atmosphere to become more favorable for weighing the sequences and consequences. A tumbler full of cold water, when taken, very often helps to bring down the temper and should be resorted to. An astute silence be observed. This is a tried medicine for your guidance, which may be communicated to both of them. No initiate should worry about his or her past life, nor be anxious about the future. The present is in their hands, and they should make the most of it. Their action lies in kind thoughts, kind acts, and kind deeds. The more they live up to the teachings of the Masters, the more they will be given the treasures of divinity. Love is the only remedy for the discord of which you write. Love is the beginning and end of spirituality. Love knows selfless service, sacrifice, and self-surrender. Let no one interested in spiritual advancement perform such selfless service for the sake of appreciation. Selfless service is a great reward in itself. Love, such as the Masters speak of, is a love that must be completely purified of the self. The seeker who, having found a true Master, has developed such absolute love for him, steadily purifies himself of all imperfections and makes himself a fit recipient of divine grace. Without absolute surrender of all traces of ego and selfhood, the disciple cannot attain that unwavering concentration of all one's faculties, which is the prerequisite of inner progress. Besides, the goal of the spiritual aspirant lies far beyond the limits of individuality. His goal is union with the Absolute, and such union must necessarily be a denial of the limits that separate us from each other. He who cannot rise above the ego, the faculty which creates these very limits, cannot hope to attain that station, which is the denial of all individuality and a realization of the oneness of all life. Such love and self-surrender to the will of the Lord embodied in the Master has been the keystone of the teachings of all mystics, and especially so of the Sant Mat. Your main task as a disciple and as an initiate is to cultivate these qualities to the very utmost and leave the rest to the Master. The Master always teaches love and tolerance, kind words and kind thoughts. Kind deeds cost nothing, but they create a potential energy which blesses everyone in coming in contact with the dear one. To help one in need is the ethical part of one's life, and should be adhered to whenever possible. Satsang is a great factor in helping the disciple toward the spiritual goal. Here, one may imbibe the sacred teachings in their right perspective. Satsang also fosters inner devotion for the gracious master power working overhead. Besides, you will be able to enjoy the rare and loving life impulse radiated in such holy congregations by the master power for the spiritual benefit of the dear ones. We often have to face the ridicule of our fellow men and the organized opposition of orthodox institutions. But if we have anchored ourselves in such a love of complete self-surrender, nothing can disturb the peace of our minds or distract the spiritual harmony that is ours. Initially, perhaps it is easier in the East to take to the mystic path than it is in the West. There is, in India, for example, a long-standing tradition of seeking and following a living master, a tradition that is foreign to those to whom religion has been taught in terms of a closed revelation. Nevertheless, this initial advantage is not as great as it might first appear, for the essential advantage in the field of spirituality is to be found not without, but within. It lies not in the absence of outer opposition, but in one's inner capacity for complete self-surrender and love. And outward obstacles may in fact act as tests and stimuli for the development of this capacity. This ability to conquer the ego and to submit oneself to the higher will is as rare in the East as in the West, and wherever it can be found, there you will observe the true grand mark of spirituality. The more one aspires to weed out the imperfections by daily introspection, the more of serene bliss and grace come from above. Patience and selflessness are ennobling virtues. Right understanding is the basis of all happiness. The Master's strong and protective arms and his loving, vigilant eyes are always on his fold. He is for their progress. When outer difficulties seem hard, his inner grace increases. If someone says something unpleasant about you, consider it calmly. If what has been said is correct, partly or in the main, try to remove those defects and thank the person for his kindness in pointing out those truths. If, on the other hand, those things are incorrect, accept the fact that the person is not fully informed and has spoken through a misconception. Excuse him for it and forget it. Should an opportunity occur to remove this misunderstanding, remove it lovingly and with an open heart. This will hasten spiritual progress and help to clean the vessel, which is destined to be filled with the ever-ready and overflowing grace of the Master. Changing over from material to spiritual man is the most difficult part of spirituality. And when you learn to perfect yourself in that field, then God realization is not difficult. Let your love for the Master be absolute, and your obedience to his wishes uncompromising. Work lovingly for his holy cause to the best of your ability. This, then, is the task before you if you aspire for spiritual salvation. Do not lose a moment in seeking to reform yourself. Inner loving devotion and deep faith help the disciple to achieve divine bliss and harmony from beyond. Spirituality means overall development in gratitude and prayer are akin. Implicit obedience and reverential humility are two of the most helpful factors in spiritual progress. Satsangs should not be used as a debating club. Initiates are advised to avoid any controversial type of questions. It, however, does not prohibit the privilege of elucidation on any particular point regarding the holy path, if such is asked for. All criticism, as well as showing one low and another high, as well as open discussions, should be politely avoided. I have noted your remarks in regard to your dear husband. He is so dear to me, and I wish him all spiritual success. Your attitude toward him should be one of service and kindness. You must not lose your temper, but be patient and considerate. All spiritual aspirants should inculcate and exhibit rare tolerance and humility in their behavior, so that others may know that you belong to the living master. The balanced mind never becomes irritated or annoyed at the slightest provocation. One learns swimming in water, and our daily living should be fashioned in such a manner that we make it a point to learn something new every day. Patience, humility, and a sense of self-abnegation are the ennobling virtues which should figure prominently in the lives of initiates. You will progress in this field in due course. A true master always insists on maintaining a record of daily lapses in thought, word, and deed. From non-injury, truth, chastity, universal love, and selfless service. Of all the five cardinal virtues that pave the way for spirituality, it is only the knowledge of our faults that can make us weed out the same and strive in the right direction. One who permits himself or herself to be disturbed by what others say and do is without question one who is still controlled by the ego and has yet to conquer the self and learn the rudiments of spirituality. Make love and self-surrender the cornerstones of your life. Do this, and you will find your life becoming daily a blessing. The path is straight, narrow, and difficult. Very difficult and exacting. But for one who is truly living, every help is promised to achieve the goal. The difficulties in ethical living should be weeded out by careful vigilance and by inculcating a deep desire for the corresponding virtues with patience and fortitude. Please also avoid looking into the eyes of the opposite sex. A truly humble and obedient spiritual aspirant will tide over the situation by reposing his or her efforts in the gracious master power working overhead. Always seek his divine guidance by invoking his mercy in humble supplication and inner intense longing for his darshan. We must constantly remember that our aim is God, and we must not be concerned with anything that makes us forget him. Our whole life must be built upon love and humility, which are inseparable. If we make any spiritual progress, we must guard against pride. Instead of looking down on our fellow beings, we must thank God for his grace and repay it by humbly helping our brethren in their material and spiritual need. If there are those who do not understand or who do not wish to understand the truth, we must not feel irritated with them. They are all God's children, as we are, and must be won over by love and persuasion. And again, I was reading from Spiritual Elixir, Chapter 1, Social Conduct and Ethical Life.
Thank you, Marcia, for reading Master's inspiring and gracious words. And before I proceed, I will add that she read from the 1967 edition of Spiritual Elixir. In the 1988 edition, her reading was from Chapter 14. There were 91 participants at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for bringing us together to strengthen our bonds of loving devotion to you.
The first principle of devotion and bhakti is what? To know that God is everywhere. We are living in Him, He is in us. If this right understanding comes in, then naturally we will follow right thoughts. With right thoughts, you will be right speech. And with right speech, you will be right actions.